Slice Your Age, episode 26.
Welcome to Slice Your Age, the show where we help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. Now, here's your host and personal coach, Dr. David Matto.
Hey, Dave, this is Sandy. I just wanted to thank you so much for the podcast and everything that you've brought into my life the past 10, 12 years. You've really opened me up to new things, and I really made a difference in my life and I think in many people's lives. So thanks again, and I look forward to listening to you every week.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Dave. It's great to have every single one of you back listening to Slice Your Age. This is going to be a great episode. The reason why today this is going to be a fantastic episode is because this is episode number 26. And what does 26 mean? What does it symbolize? Well, 26, there are 26.2 miles in a marathon. So we're going to be actually answering the question today, what's so great about a marathon? We're going to get to that in just a little bit. Got a few things, a few really cool things before we get started. And I've got Yoko here in the studio with me. Yoko, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. What did I want to say? Well, you know, we've gotten so many. Yoko and I just finished two episodes together. It was 17 of my life secrets that were never revealed before. We did part one and part two. We did the first one, I think it was episode 24, we revealed 1 through 10. And then in episode 25, we revealed secrets 11 through 17, and we threw a really cool bonus in there for you. So if you haven't heard my 17, now it's actually 18, 18 life secrets never before revealed, make sure you check out episodes 24 and 25. And Yoko, since you got so many great reviews, a lot of people were emailing me and saying on Facebook how they really loved having you on the show with me, I wanted to bring you back for this very special episode, episode 26. We got a lot of cool things to talk about. One of them, just one of them, is what's so great about a marathon. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Before we get into that, Yoko, a couple things I just want to talk to my listeners about. We're winding our Facebook contest down. We've got a contest over on Facebook at facebook.com/sliceyourage. And so what we said was the person who, anybody who likes the page, actually, anybody who likes the page gets thrown in the hat, and you're eligible for a gift card to either Amazon or Starbucks, $25 gift card. You know, why not take it? I mean, I wouldn't turn down a $25 gift card, Amazon or Starbucks. If you share a post on the page, share any post on the page, you also get your name thrown in twice. You got twice as good of a chance. So, Yoko, within a couple days, we're going to be picking the winner. The very end of this month, very end of March, we're going to be picking the winner for that $25 gift card. I'm hoping somebody that's listening right now is going to win it. And then after that contest is over, after this March contest is over, I've got a great idea for another contest. It's just going to keep going. I've got a really cool one for April. I'm not going to talk about it yet. But let's just say I think the gifts are going to get a little bit bigger and better. Let's just say that. Let's leave it at that. But meanwhile, we got to finish up March. So if you have not liked the page yet, make sure you go like it. If you have not shared it with somebody, shared one of the posts or something like that, just go share it with somebody. You got twice as good of a chance to win that $25 gift card. And by the way, yeah, it's your choice. You get to pick. It's if you like Starbucks, hopefully you're drinking decaf at Starbucks. Hopefully none of those real sugary drinks or anything like that. But you can drink healthy at Starbucks. You can. Or Amazon. So your choice, whatever you want. Now, I want to share a blog that I was just introduced to actually just a few days ago. It's by, and by the way, Lyoko, I want to just tell everybody, we're sipping a special tea tonight. Both of us have this in front of us. It's called Honey Lemon Ginseng Green Tea. It's by Private Selection. It looks like Private Selection is the company that puts this out. And it's a blend of green tea, honey, lemon, verbena. What is lemon verbena? Do you know what that is? Lemon verbena?
No.
Somebody's got to tell us what lemon verbena is. It sounds good. It sounds healthy. I don't know what it is exactly. Ginseng and herbs. It's delicious. I'm loving it. And I've also got a nice glass of water, fresh water from the Colorado Rocky Mountains in front of me. So we're set. We got plenty to drink if my throat gets dry. By the way, this is the last episode we're actually doing from Colorado. Insert crying face here because we're both very sad. Have to leave Colorado. Not that the East Coast is bad. We love Reisterstown, Maryland, but there's something very, very special about being in Colorado for a good part of the winter. It's such a healthy lifestyle, just incredible. So it's very sad to say this is going to be the last episode taped from Colorado for a little while. We'll be back, but just for a little while. So anyway, I got off on a tangent a little bit. I wanted to tell you about Lindsay Hahn Sanders' blog. Lindsay Hahn Sanders is a runner. She's been running for several years now. She's mainly been doing short distance runs, but she made up her mind a little while ago that she's going to compete in a marathon. So she's been training for it. I'm sure she's going to do fantastic, but she is writing a blog and she's counting down the days to her marathon. I think there's maybe, I'm guessing there is 20 or 20 some days left until her marathon. So every day she's calling that kind of like a mile, and she's writing like a really cool little blog entry. And if you're interested, check it out. Lindsay is not only a runner, she's a really, really good writer, a real inspiring writer. So I wanted to share this with my listeners. Simply go to Lindsay. It's actually Lindsay's Miles. It's a play on words because I think it also could be Lindsay Smiles, but it's Lindsay's Miles. .wordpress.com. I'll spell it out for you. Also, this will be on the show notes. So if you miss it here, just go to the show notes and pick it up and click on it from there. But it's LindsaySmiles, Lindsay's Miles. .wordpress.com. Make sure you check it out. It's a really, really well-written, inspiring blog. You're not going to want to miss that one. Now, Yoga, before we start talking about what's so damn cool about a marathon, but I kind of made it a little bit more mainstream. Okay. What's so great about a marathon? Mm-hmm. I got a really interesting email question from one of my listeners. Her name is Lori Cockley. Lori Cockley, and I'm going to go ahead and read it. It's a long question. And then Yoko, it's a really, really interesting question, and I want both of us to answer this question because I think it's going to help out not only Lori, but a lot of the listeners. So here's the question, and bear with me because, as I said, it's long. And by the way, Lori is a great listener. She listened to, I think, all of the episodes of this podcast. So she says, I was thinking as I was listening that although I've backed into some of my bad habits of late, I've certainly been very disciplined in the past. And I'd like to get to where I was only 2 years ago. One thing that I remember was that I craved the bad things at first very much, such as sodas, sugar, bad snacks, etc. Just a habit, I guess. That's what she said in parentheses. But as I resisted, I found that the cravings lessened. And then I got to the point where very quickly I had no interest at all in junk foods or desserts or sodas. And in fact, if I were to taste a sip of soda, I would have to spit it out because it was disgustingly fizzy and sweet and my body just rejected it. Mm-hmm. So this is a good place to be. This is still her question. This is a good place to be, obviously. So my question is this. What is it that makes this happen? Is it physical? Is it psychological? People who drink sodas as their primary source of liquids, and she says, ugh. Was that a good ugh? She said, ooh, or ugh, ugh. Actually crave sodas to quench their thirst. But when you're used to drinking water, you actually crave water for your thirst. Why is this? So again, long question, but as I told Lori via Facebook Messenger, a really, really great question that not only is going to help Lori, but I think it's going to help a lot of listeners. So Yoko, after I read the question, I got kind of thirsty, and what I'm going to do is choose to drink a little bit of the fresh water in front of me instead of my tea. We certainly do not have sodas in front of us. We don't have any sugar drinks. We've got nothing like that even in the house here. I'd say only healthy drinks. And there's something about the Colorado water that I guess it's flowing from the mountains. It's so cold and pure and crisp. I love drinking it. So, Yoko, let me have a sip. Bear with me 1 second. Mmm. It's delicious. But anyway, Yoko, so Laurie, I think it's a really valid question. So basically, to sum it up is, okay, look, a lot of people crave junk food, sugar, sweets, desserts, sodas, all that stuff. But then, according to Laurie, and this is true because we've done the same thing, as you wean yourself off of those things, as you get rid of those from your diet, you don't have anything like that in your house. Mm-hmm. As I said in previous episodes, get rid of it all and start drinking healthy water, a little bit of green tea, eating healthy foods, not having desserts, not having sweets. Your body doesn't, after a little bit of time, it takes a while, mm-hmm. but your body no longer craves the junk, the sweets, the sugar, the desserts, the crap. Your body doesn't crave it anymore. So I guess Laurie's question is it psychological? Is it physical? Is it a combination? What do you think? I've got my opinion.
I think it's combination.
Mm-hmm. Combination? Why do you say combination?
Because like everybody has a body cycle too, especially women. We have like body cycles.
Right? Body cycles, right?
Right. So that like even for me, I feel like before I get period,
mm-hmm.
Like I feel like I have to eat more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I don't have to, but like I feel hungry, like I have to eat, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But after finish period, like I don't want to eat that much. Mm. Like you know, I don't want, like I can go back to the healthy eating. Because before the period, like I usually like don't want like a lot of sweets, right? You don't see me, mm-hmm. I'm not eating a lot of sweets. But right before, like, I really want to eat.
You crave sweets right before your period?
Yeah.
Really?
Sweet red beans.
And do you eat them?
Mm-hmm.
You do? Shh. Not to say that on the show here. But no, so you do eat them, but you eat them for a very small, short period of time.
Yeah, right, because right, you say like right before.
Your body is craving all kinds right. of weird stuff, you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying this is mainly right before your period,
mm-hmm.
but you know, okay. So as a man, I don't have a period. But I am many, many years ago, I took all of the junk totally out of my diet. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it again. Never. I mean, I was never a soda drinker at all. But I mean, these days, I never would touch a soda. Soda would really make me sick. I think to look at it and smell it and taste it and drink it, it would make me sick. There's nothing good in soda. For me, or for you, or for anybody, and that means diet also. They're horrible. It's as far as I'm concerned, it's poison. So I got that out of my diet. I don't eat sweets. I don't eat any sugary foods, sweets, desserts, any of that stuff that Laurie was saying that she used to eat, but when she got it out of her diet, she no longer craved it. And in fact, the smell of it, the look of it, the taste of it, got her sick. So. I guess her question is it psychological or physiological or physical? And I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say both also because I think there's a huge psychological component to it. I mean, when you know, look, we've got in front of us, we have water and tea. We don't have any other junk. And if you put a soda in front of me, it would really make me sick. So I think it's partly psychological. I mean, just knowing that it's right there, that's not physical because I'm not drinking it, I'm not tasting it, but putting it in front of me, psychologically speaking, I don't want it anywhere near me. And that goes the same with a cookie, with a piece of pie, with a slice of cake, anything. I don't want it anywhere here. I don't want it near me. I don't want it in my house. So that part is psychological. But then again, if I would taste it, if I would let it enter my body and in my mouth, into my stomach, I think it would make me sick. I don't want this stuff. So I agree that I think it's a combination, mm-hmm. psychological and physical. But getting back to I think you brought up a really good point about the body energy flows. I think, and before we actually went on the air, you were mentioning something about what were the words you were using?
Well, we all have energy.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, we all have energy, and the body energy is flowing.
Always flowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're alive, the energy is flowing, right?
Yeah. Then, like, it's like supposed to be this way or that way.
So I can, the reader, I mean, the listeners can't really see, but you're motioning either, like, it looks like you're motioning either clockwise or counterclockwise. I mean, the energy is flowing one way or the other.
Yeah, it's not exactly like that, but like, I don't know how to describe.
Well, you better describe, because we're in front of a microphone and they can't see you. See, they can't see your picture. They can't see what your hands are doing.
You
got to describe it.
You can. The ladies.
The ladies.
Like, basic energy flow is from here to going this way.
So you're saying, okay, so what Yoko is pointing to, you're pointing to kind of like your pelvic area.
Yeah.
The energy is flowing from the front pelvic area up the stomach, chest, face, and then going over the head.
Yeah.
And then
going down to the...
Going down to your...
To the earth.
To the earth. Mm-hmm. So it's flowing that way. Okay, so from the front, up your body, to the back, down to the earth.
Right.
Okay, so what does all that mean?
And then the male opposite from back...
Oh, so the male, you're pointing to kind of like my butt. So the energy starts kind of like around the butt, you're saying?
Like this.
Around the, what do you call that?
Sacrum.
Sacral area. Sacral area, and flows up the back, kind of, over my head,
right,
to the front, and then down to the earth that way.
Yeah.
So you're saying men and women are different. Males and females are different. Wow, what a revelation. We just figured this out on the show. Men and women are different.
Well, but that's what I learned.
Okay. I'm giving you a hard time. I'm kidding.
Anyway, so that goes.
So depending if you're male or female, the energy is flowing different ways. So you've you've always got your energy flowing one way in your body, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
And then, for example, if somebody get not feeling well quickly, or something, that means like the energy flow just changed.
So in other words, if you get an infection, a disease, something's going on. Maybe a little stress, depression, anything like
anything.
That. The energy,
or even you ate something bad food, like the energy flow goes the other way.
The energy will just go the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when that happens? What does that mean for your body?
So that means like the body try to adjust, but like that flow is not going back, and then just like going down to the like a spiral, going down worse and worse.
The energy is kind of spiraling down.
Hmm.
And then what happened? How do you know in your body the energy is changing and spiraling downhill?
Well, but once you get the condition, maybe you are not recognize it, and then like even you are eating junk food or like you don't exercise, but your body or mind or spirit feels it's okay, like you don't do anything good for your body.
So I'm not real clear. So what happens first? Like something happens to your body that either you're stressed, an infection, you got some bad news, or something happens, and your energy flows differently.
Mm.
And then you're saying when your energy starts flowing differently. And by the way, just for those of you that don't know Yoko that well, Yoko is a massage therapist who has a tremendous amount of training in energy work. Is it energy work, energy flow, that kind of thing? You've studied a lot about energy.
Mm-hmm.
So so once the energy starts kind of going wacko, kind of going the wrong way, does that mean at that point you're more likely to make bad decisions, and you're going to eat more junk and maybe not exercise as much, maybe lay around the house more watching.
Right.
Okay, I get it now. So something has to happen first with your energy, which kind of puts your body in kind of a bad state. And then from there, it kind of goes downhill because something's not right with you, and you start making bad decisions about food, no exercise.
Yeah, and then the body or the person doesn't recognize.
But how do you get out of it?
Has to do something good to your body.
So in other words, you have to realize that, okay, something's wrong with my body. Something must be wrong with my energy flow. I'm going to make a conscious effort to not eat some of this junk that I might be craving, because mm-hmm. I know if I crave it and eat it, it's going to be really bad for my body. It's going to go downhill even worse, and I'm going to get into this downhill spiral. Right. So I've got to kind of take the bull by the horn and say, okay, I know something's going on with my body. My energy's not right. This is happening, but I have to stay on top of this, and I'm not going to succumb to the feelings of wanting to eat junk or lack of exercise or anything like that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Just like, you know, if something like a very good thing happened to you, like it might change the
mm-hmm.
the flow.
So let's say you had like a great day at work, or you made mm-hmm. some money, or somebody some good news
gave you like a compliment,
or a good gift, or something like
or
that.
Or even like, you know, you just recognize, today I'm gonna just eat healthy food or something, mm-hmm. and then that, you know, change the flow and the goal.
Okay. I see.
Better.
Very interesting stuff. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So I that's a very long answer to Laurie's question, but it kind of brought up a really good discussion. It's not just as simple as, you know, only psychological or only physical, but there's a whole energy flow in everybody's body, and you got to kind of be you got to be kind of in tune to your body's energy. You got to kind of know what's going on, because if your energy flow is kind of going the wrong way, you feel it in your body. You feel that something's not exactly right.
Yeah.
Right. And let's face it, we're all human beings, and no matter how good your life is, how healthy you are, you're gonna have a day that you just don't feel right, mm-hmm. right? I mean, something's gonna happen. You know, maybe you got some news about something. Who knows? Maybe you got this inner feeling that something's not right. But we're all human, and we're all gonna have energy that's flowing the wrong way sometimes. So you mm-hmm. gotta really be aware of that,
yeah,
and then make the right decisions from there,
right. But I have a very secret things to change the thing.
Oh, you got kind of like a secret way to change the energy?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so that's...
Yoko's secret way of changing your body's energy flow. Okay, let's hear it, Yoko.
That's like, it's a little bit... sounds silly.
Mm-hmm. But, a little bit out there.
Yeah, but it's...
Does it work?
Yes.
Okay, definitely works. Let's hear
it. It's just like you have to create very, 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 very pure, happy feeling.
Mm-hmm.
How? Just like think about like somebody who make you smile.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for me, like anybody is okay. You, my parents, my friends. But for me, cats.
I know. The cats make you smile. The three cats.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So the cats make you smile more than I make you smile? Is that what it is? Like, I think if you have to think of somebody that makes you smile and you think of the cats before me, then maybe
because the cats are very pure. Animals are very pure. They don't have any, they are not going to take advantage.
They're not going to judge us. They kind of love human beings regardless.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're really abusing them, which, God,
yeah,
that's horrible.
No, but
not wanting to think about that.
But animals, they're
pure.
Like, for example, like, you know, baby's face or mm-hmm. something. Like very pure.
So you say think of something pure. Is that what you're saying?
And make you smile.
Think of something pure that makes you small. So in your case, it's the cats. Okay.
Yeah, but also
what?
Like Jeremy too.
Oh, Jeremy, my grandson, our grandson.
Yeah, my grandson.
Your grandson, too. Jeremy. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, we became grandparents back in December.
December 1st.
Am I that old? I'm not old enough to become a grandfather. I mean, I'm still running marathons and skiing down double black diamond slopes. I mean, grandfathers are not supposed to do that kind of stuff, are they?
They do.
They do? Okay, good. I feel better then. Okay, I feel younger. I sliced my age. So wait, you think of something that makes you smile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's it.
That's all you do?
Mm-hmm.
Think of something and then that will get your energy flow back to normal?
Yeah.
It's as easy as that?
Yeah.
Does it really work?
Yes.
Okay, so next time I'm like a little bit down or something, I feel like my energy is not exactly right, I'm just going to think of something that makes me smile,
mm-hmm.
and you promise me I'm going to feel better.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that. We're going to try it. And those of you that are listening to this, really, if you have a bad day, if you feel like you're stressed out coming down with maybe a cold or a flu or something isn't right, if you got some bad news, maybe, who knows, something happened at your workplace, try what Yoko just said. I admit, I have not tried this yet, but Yoko really is an expert at energy flow. So it sounds really simple, almost too simple to be true, but just think of something. Is it fair to say, like, sit down kind of like in a quiet area, quiet room, almost like meditative?
Yeah.
And just picture something in your mind that makes you smile. Mm-hmm. And tell me if it works. Tell us if it works. Tell us if you feel a difference. I'd love to hear from you, my listeners, and because we want to help you, and I'd love to know if this really works for you guys. So good stuff.
Yeah, but like one thing, the energy flow. Mm-hmm. Like one time we were having dinner with your parents,
okay,
my in-law, and then Selvin, father-in-law, he suddenly, like, maybe we had like drinks. Mm-hmm. And then Selvin started to feeling not well. Actually, okay. That was on the cruise.
Okay.
And then, like, he sat down. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, I have to rest a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's what he was saying. He was saying, I got to rest a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, like, okay, like, I just, like, try to make his flow, energy flow better.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that Dave described, from the back
from over the head to the front, to the earth.
Yeah, I did maybe 3 times mm-hmm. on his body.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, like, oh, I'm okay.
Amazing.
And then,
he started
to walk.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm still learning about energy, but, like, it worked.
I would recommend that anybody listening try it. If anything's going on in your life that might be bad or stress or illness or anything, try what Yoko just said. It can't hurt. It's not going to hurt you in any way.
If it doesn't work, it's not going to hurt.
But you've actually done energy work on people that have had some type of problem, malady, like illness or something, even from, and we're not going to get into this now, but maybe on another episode, but you've actually successfully done energy work on people that were maybe even like halfway around the world, maybe back in your home country of Japan. If a friend of yours was having some kind of illness, you actually did energy work on them from the U.S. and you've had success with that.
Mm, but I don't know which one you are talking about.
I think several.
Okay.
I think there were several. Yeah, I mean, you've told me about people that I think there was a guy in Japan. I can't remember the story, but did he have like real bad back pain or some kind of pain? And you were doing energy work on him. I'm sure. I might not have gotten that exactly right, but I kind of remember that. And there were several other people as well. And maybe even like a dog. I'm not sure.
But anyway, like, I'm still learning. Mm-hmm. Like, and then energy, because we cannot see it, so that maybe people don't believe it. But like, definitely we have energy flowing. So that, like, for me, maybe sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. But why not try?
Yeah. Why not try? Yoko, let's talk, since this is episode 26, let's mm-hmm. talk a little bit about the marathon. What's so great about a marathon? A marathon is 26.2 miles, and that last 0.2 is a killer. But since this is episode 26, I want to tie it in with the marathon.
Okay.
And we talked a little while ago about Lindsay Sanders' blog, Lindsay Hans Sanders' blog, called Lindsay's Miles. .wordpress.com. She's a marathon runner. Well, she is going to be a marathon runner in about 20 days or so. She's going to complete her first marathon. Mm. But you and I run marathons. We run about two a year. Safe to say, about two a year.
Mm-hmm.
This year we're doing New York Marathon in November, New York City Marathon in November, and the Honolulu Marathon in December. And by the way, if anybody is going to be at any of those marathons, either of those marathons, New York City or Honolulu, look us up, find us. We're going to be there running. And as you know, I'm not the fastest runner in the pack. Slow. Neither are you. So, Yoko, why? Let's go back a little bit to way before you started a marathon. Why did you start running? Why did you get in? What made you start running?
You made me run.
I made you run? Did I force you? Did I put a gun to your head and say, Yoko, you better run? What did I do?
No. Well, because I used to live in New Orleans, but I moved to Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And then where our house was, just, you know, very nice countryside. Mm-hmm. It's not close to the city at all. It's just beautiful outside. Horses, cornfield. So mm-hmm. that I thought, why not? I just walk or run. So okay. that was the first. But in the beginning, I couldn't even run 1 mile.
No, it was very difficult for you to run 1 mile. Mm. So what did you do? If you didn't run 1 mile, what did you just started with a little bit at a time? What did you walked a little bit, ran a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember the first race we ever did together. Do you remember what it was? I think which one was it?
Annapolis, 10 miles.
Your first race was a 10 miler.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing like jumping into it and getting, you know, why not start with a 5K? You started with a 10 miler. But and you did pretty well.
Yeah,
you did pretty well.
You registered me.
I don't remember. So, but I just I registered you without telling you. You mean?
Maybe like said, let's do that. You can do it or something. But you are very good, like a motivator.
Motivator.
Yeah.
I try. That's why I've got this podcast. I'm trying to motivate thousands and thousands of people now on the other end of this, listening to this. I hope I'm doing a good job, but thanks for saying that.
Because like even like I couldn't run 1 mile, but like every day, that time when I moved to Baltimore was summertime,
mm-hmm.
June, so no school that mm-hmm. time. So that every day you go to work, like I don't have anything to do.
So just,
other than the playing with three cats, right?
You just went outside to run. I mean, nothing to do, so we'll go out and run.
Exercise. And even like I did, today I tried, but like I couldn't run 1 mile. But your answer was, Yoko, that's so great. Like, you know, you always, even I did a little bit or like you always say something
good.
Gave
you like a compliment.
Yeah.
Good. So we got you running a little bit. We got you running a 10-mile race. I think just several months after you started running, you ran a 10-mile race, right?
Not several, maybe 2 months.
Okay, 2 months. So, yeah, because the Annapolis 10-mile that we did is in August, and you started running in June, July. So congratulations. Maybe if I never said congratulations in the past, I'm saying congratulations now. 10-mile race. So then we stepped it up a little bit. Maybe I think there was some more races. Shorter, mm-hmm. longer, maybe a half marathon thrown in there, something, mm-hmm. a few half marathons. Why did you want to run a marathon? Why did you want to do that? Don't blame it on me now. You can if you want. Blame it on me.
You made me run.
I made you run a marathon. Okay. I'm pretty tough on you, aren't I?
No, I think that happened was like your grandma passed away.
Uh-huh.
And you said, I don't want to do longer running I was always active in my life. I played basketball, tennis, you know, whatever I did.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't like just running. Mm-hmm. Never, ever. I didn't like it. But somehow, you know, I moved to Baltimore and then I started to run and I was able to 10 miles, but I couldn't even walk after the 10 miles running.
So then we decided we're going to do a marathon.
And then marathon, as you said, like since my grandma passed away, would you like to dedicate?
Oh, so we dedicated that. Because I remember the one we did together. It was the Chicago Marathon,
mm-hmm.
2009, I believe we did that together.
I don't remember.
2009. So that was in dedication of my grandma passing away. Well, that's a good reason to run. I think that's a good reason to run it in her memory.
And then she was super, super nice
mm-hmm.
to me. And then I really loved her. Even, you know, I knew her only for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, okay, I will do it. And then we started to train.
And we trained a lot. And we trained and we ran a lot during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we entered Chicago Marathon, and we both completed the marathon. We both finished it.
Yep.
Now again, I don't give times, because the reason I don't give times and not only on the podcast, but I never, if somebody asks me my time for a marathon, I just don't give it, because I feel it's not important. I feel the most important thing is that you decide to run or walk or combination of this incredible distance of 26.2 miles. Now, I want to tell you something. Somebody out there is probably saying, oh, anybody could walk 26.2. Mm-hmm. You know, it's running. Running the marathon is really the tough thing. Well, Yoka, let me ask you something. Is it easy to even walk 26.2 miles?
No.
It is. Listeners, believe me, my friends, it is not easy to know. We do a combination of walking and running, but even if you just got, if you just walked 26.2 without proper training, believe me, after a certain number of miles, probably after about 13, 14, 15 miles, you're going to feel some pain in your body that you've never felt before, you've never experienced before. And then when you start feeling that, you've still got a good, at the very least, 10 more miles to go. It is grueling. It's not easy. You really have to train properly, whether you're going to be running the whole thing fast, running it slow, or a combination of walking running, or just even plain walking. And these days, there are people that just walk marathons. I mean, in the Honolulu Marathon, we did that a couple years ago, there were plenty of people that would just walk the entire thing. And they keep that course open until the last person finishes, which I think is incredible. Mm-hmm. But how did you feel when you completed that first marathon in 2009? What was going through your mind? How did you feel? Other than probably very tired and hurting, how did you feel?
It's difficult to describe.
Uh-huh.
But I remember, like, after maybe 20 miles, mm-hmm. I was okay for 20 miles. But after that, like, my legs started to painful. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, I can walk. And I was walking, but still even walking, like, I was, like, literally doing like this.
Like kind of bad, yeah, really, yeah, walking in pain.
It's still painful. And then, like, I felt I think I was crying inside of the sunglasses. Just like, mm-hmm. I can, because I, you know, I trained a lot for this, and then, like, can I finish it? Like, it's very, like, get so emotional.
Very emotional. Yeah. Marathon is extremely emotional.
And then, but that, you know, when I'm very, very struggling on the street, many people are cheering.
Yeah. Cheering you, yeah.
And then, like, get more emotional, like, you know, oh my gosh, like. And then I felt a little bit better maybe after 24 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, then another emotion comes, oh my gosh, maybe I can finish this.
So, like, at 24 miles.
Yeah, but before, I thought
you didn't know if you could finish it. But right. At 24 miles, when you saw that 24 mile marker, you said, well, I can finish this thing. I know I'm going to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowds cheering and the music playing, you knew that you were almost done.
Yeah.
And how did you feel, like, actually just crossing that finish line, seeing that whole crowd of people around the finish line cheering you on and cheering all the finishers? How did you feel then?
I was just very, very happy. And
did you cry?
I think so.
I know I cried. I am positive. I tell you, when we did that, so my listeners know, I did some marathons a long, long time ago when I was much younger. But then I took a long break. I've been running continuously for a long time, but I didn't run marathons for a while. But then Yoko and I came back in 2009 and did this together. I definitely cried at the finish, no question mm-hmm. about it. When you're passing all these. All the crowd that's cheering you on from the in Chicago, they've got people, like, basically in bleachers and grandstands cheering you on. I cried then. I cried when they put the medal around my neck. I cried then for sure. And I also cried at least several times on the course. I remember at some point I encountered a blind runner who was being escorted by somebody that could see very well. And they were escorting this blind runner through the whole 26-mile course. When I saw that, I lost it emotionally. And I cried then. And I cried several other times just seeing the spectators on the side of the road cheering me on and yelling my name, because I had my name written on my shirt, I think. And it just, there's so many times I'm just like, it's it's hard. It's very, very emotional. It's very different than getting out there and running a 5 mile race. It's extremely emotional, but a good kind of emotional.
Yes.
A good kind of crying too. Mm-hmm. I think very healthy.
Yeah. And then like after I finished, I felt so good and I felt I did it. Like, you know, I achieved my goal. Like I felt,
accomplished, a sense of accomplishment. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that, absolutely. Like, yeah, even no like, not only after I finished the marathon, like after whole entire my life felt got totally changed, because I have learned from running marathon that if I change my mind, like, you know, in my mind, marathon was impossible before.
Mm-hmm. Before you did it, you felt it was an impossible task.
Right, but that's what I create in my mind. Marathon, I don't like it. I just don't like just running. 26.2, yeah. It's like just impossible. That's what I create in my mind. That's why I couldn't do it. But I changed. Okay, maybe I can dedicate this for your grandma. And then we trained, and then once I changed my mind, and then little by little, you know, body get used to it, and I was able to do it. Even though, like, I couldn't run 1 mile before.
I think Grandma, and we called her Nan Marion, I think Nan Marion, who's our grandma, wherever she may be right now, I think she's smiling hearing this story, knowing that we ran this in her honor. We finished it, and it kind of changed both of our lives, and we're like kind of like hooked on these things, and we do them. As I said, we do a couple a year. Now we do a lot of shorter races and have some fun with some shorter races, because the marathon is definitely not easy, but we do try to do two a year. Yoko, now I've got a lot of listeners that are probably thinking, well, do I have to run a marathon to be in good shape, or to have this sense of accomplishment, or to be a successful?
Nope.
So the answer is no.
No.
You don't have to run a marathon at all.
No, just like anything. So it's we can use this
like example.
Yeah, example. We can use it for everything.
Okay, give me an example of
like
this.
Like something like you said, like, you know, we should make our goals too, right, in our lives. Same thing, like in your mind, you think something impossible, but you can change possible.
I like that. So not just a marathon, but if there's anything you want to do in your life and you think, well, you know, you've been told you can't do that, or you think it's so difficult, it's so tough, but it's a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And when you change your mind, I hate to use, like, there's an old cliche, like do a paradigm shift. That means just kind of change your thinking, think a new way.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can do pretty much anything you want. I'm not going to say anything you want, because like I couldn't become like a, I'm going to give an example. I could not become like star player in the NBA right now. There's no way. No matter how much I thought I wanted to do it, I could not be in the NBA. I couldn't even be the worst player in the NBA right now. So there are limits, and you have to be a little realistic about limits. I probably couldn't be in a famous rock band right now either. Probably not.
But if you really want to,
I don't know.
You are able
maybe
to.
I could be in a lousy rock band, but not a famous one. But all that crazy stuff aside, I mean, let's face it. I'm not going to be in the NBA. I don't want to be in the NBA. I can't be in the NBA. But if I say to myself, I have a goal, and it's fill in the blank, whatever that goal might be, and you work towards it, figure out how to make it happen. In most cases, you can make that happen, whether it's wanting to lose a certain amount of weight, whether it's wanting to find a new job, run a marathon, whatever it may be.
Yep.
I believe every single one of my listeners can do practically whatever they want in their lives. And I've stressed this in some of the past episodes as well. I think it's important to do what you want to do in your life. We only live once, as far as I know. Well, maybe, who knows, really? But at least in this lifetime, you get one shot at it. And I think I'd say, like we said last time, I think our bonus our bonus, what we call them, I can't remember, what did I call them in the last episode? Secret, bonus secret. Number 18 was something like just go for it, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something you really want to like, do it. Don't put it off any longer. Do right. it.
And then, never too late. That's what your right. grandma taught me.
That's a great thing she taught you. Now, she was in well into her 90s.
Yeah.
And she was learning new things.
Right. I was amazed. She couldn't read because her
eyesight
was yeah. bad. Yeah. But she told me, oh, I want to know more about maybe another religion or something that mm-hmm. time. So that she started to listen the book.
Mm-hmm. She would read audiobooks, listen to audiobooks. Right, right.
right.
Because her eyesight was failing her, so she found another way around that. She couldn't read, but she would listen to these audiobooks, and she was a very learned person well into her 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I agree, it's never too late.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's any listeners out there saying, well, no, I'm 55 years old, I'm not going to start running and run a marathon now. Well, you know, look, I'm 58. And I definitely know of and heard of runners that maybe didn't even start till they were 60.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got 2 years to go. I agree, Yoko, it's never too late for anything. Mm-hmm. There are people in their 70s and 80s mm-hmm. that could easily get started.
Yeah.
I mean it. I really mean it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to pretty much wind things down, Yoko. This was great. We talked a lot about energy flow in our bodies. We answered a great question from Dr. Laurie Cockley. We kind of a long-winded answer, but I really think it helped, and I know it helped. And then we talked about, since it is episode 26, the what's so great about a marathon. I think we answered that question, too. It's pretty darn cool. It's pretty darn cool to run a marathon, but you don't have to run a marathon mm-hmm. to be in the best shape of your life. You just don't have
right.
to. So, Yoko,
I think there are more people that they can do much longer than marathon or, you know.
Oh, they're ultra marathons.
Yeah.
There are they're triathlons. You know, they're Ironman, which mm-hmm. I'm not gonna. I'm sorry, I'm not doing an Ironman. We you know.
But if we change our mind, we might able to do
you know,
it.
We had Dr. Ritu Rao on the show
mm-hmm.
a few weeks ago, and she's a mom, a dentist,
right.
and she wasn't really happy with the way things were going in her life as far as, you know, the shape she was in. And she made it a point to go from the couch to running a 5K race to running longer races, and now she finished a marathon, but not she didn't stop there. Now she just completed an ultra marathon, a 50-mile ultra
wow.
marathon. Guess what? I'm not doing that. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. You're not going to – I don't care if you sign me up for one. I'm not doing it. I don't care. Don't even try to sign me up for one of those. I'll let Ritu Rao run those things. Anyway, everybody, listen. This puts episode 26 – the marathon episode, episode 26, What's So Great About a Marathon? This puts this in the books. And I want to thank Yoko for being here.
Thank you.
Will see you next time for episode 27. You all take care now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Slice Your Age. You are no longer alone on this journey.